Yes, so the research that I'm going to be presenting today is I did with my collaborators while at Washington State University. Since then, I'm transitioning to my new position as the nitrogen director for the International Plant Nutrition Institute. And so the data that I'm showing here today was collected from the 2016 winter wheat variety testing trial. We had 16 locations that you can see on this map here of eastern Washington that ranged in precipitation. So we have a strong precipitation gradient in eastern Washington. And the colors of these stars represent the colors of the rainbow. And so when you have red, you have less annual precipitation, on to purple with more precipitation. And the wonderful thing about these variety trials is it gives us an opportunity to really demonstrate how much our cropping systems and our wheat production is driven by precipitation, which you can see here on the graph to your right, where we have precipitation that ranges from 200 to 600 millimeters per year in eastern Washington, and this has a huge impact on grain yields. So what you also need to know about eastern Washington is that we have a Mediterranean-like climate. That means we get the majority of our precipitation during the fall, winter, and some in the spring. And so because of that, our soils are highly dependent, or our winter wheat is highly dependent on stored water. And so you can see here that when you look at water stored in the soil, you really need to take deeper soil cores going on down to 120 centimeters to see that gradient in stored water that is driving the differences in wheat yields across the region. And because of this, we recommend that our growers take minimum of 120 centimeter soil cores. That's one, to figure out how much water that they have available to make their yield predictions, as well as to get an inventory of the nitrogen that's in the system. Now, our other nutrients, we also provide recommendations in our extension program for phosphorus as well as sulfur, and those are collected on shallower soil cores. But our new variety testing director, he took soil cores down to 120 centimeters at 30 centimeter increments and then split the top 30 centimeters. And he did a complete nutrient analysis on every single depth, which is pretty abnormal for what we recommend. And so what this gave us an opportunity to look at the nutrient distribution, not only across eastern Washington, but also with depth at these different locations. And that forms the basis of my poster. And so when you look at the master variables of soil organic matter and pH, when we want to see differences in these master variables across the region, we can then look to see what depth increment is best representative. And so for soil organic matter, as we would predict, the 0 to 15 centimeter to shallow depth is more representative. But then when you look at pH, we really needed to go all the way down to 120 centimeters to look at the difference in pH across the region. And so this made us think about, okay, what sort of impact or implication does this have on nutrients that would be more regulated by pH, such as your micronutrients. And so on my poster, I provide some of these analyses, so I would invite you to come by my poster this evening. It's poster 1223. But just in summary, I can show you our results that we present. And basically, we were saying, okay, well, which depth increment would best represent differences in nutrient availability across the precipitation gradient? And so for 0 to 15, I mentioned that soil organic matter is best represented there. So you would have your sulfur and your copper. Also, too, I didn't show, but cationic exchange capacity increases. So, of course, calcium and potassium wouldn't be included in that. And then our fuller depth, since we do have a decrease in pH, our micronutrient availability is, as well as our aluminum, increases as we move to higher pH. But phosphorus, it didn't matter either depth, because I think it's related to both soil organic matter as well as pH. And then neither would be zinc, nitrate, of course, magnesium chloride. So for fertilizer implications, I think this is important because boron, we have less boron available under higher rainfall, so we need to think about boron fertilization, especially for crops like canola. And then it also explains why our wheat growers are becoming more interested in zinc fertilization in the higher rainfall area. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ty.